Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Max Show. I'm Jeff Gamet, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And did I say the right show? Yes, I did. Okay, the Max Show. Yeah, that's what we're doing today. Anyhow, sitting in for Ewan Rankin, and it's awesome to get to hang out with these amazingly awesome people. So seriously, I am happy to be here. I'm sorry for those of you that are watching the recording or listening to the recording instead of being able to be here live with us, because you might have made a good choice. Yeah, we were having so much fun before the show, and now we're doing the show. Which does that mean we're not having fun anymore? No,
we're having even more fun.
No,
yeah, we're just having a different kind of fun.
And then we're going to go have lunch and then do Dave's show.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So it's going to be just an awesomely fun first half of the day for me, because this is really how I start my Friday. Just hanging out with all of you. And I'm especially excited about the show today. I'm thinking of it as the Let's Trigger Chuck episode. So this is just going to be lots of fun.
Shouldn't be that hard, Jeff.
No. The jokes practically write themselves. Anyhow, Chuck, how are you today?
I'm just waiting to be triggered. I'm great.
I will do my best.
I mean, I thought I got it all out during the pre-show, but apparently you anticipate more. So I'm anxious to see what you throw in and see what effect it has on me.
Well, as I was looking for news stories to cover today, I was finding these things where I thought, oh, this could be an interesting discussion. And as I've lined up my tabs, I realize as I look at these, this is basically a Trigger Chuck series of stories.
There we go.
Okay. Okay.
So I'm looking forward to seeing just how long you spend on your soapbox today.
Wait, so we're talking insurance today?
So while you're introducing everybody else, I'll order lunch on the iPad over here and have it delivered.
That sounds like a great plan. Yeah. Yep. Dave, how are you doing?
I am doing great. I'm actually enjoying what my company calls Global Well-Being Day. The entire company is off to recharge and rest and help with some mental health. And I think it's a nice thing, but I couldn't spend a day like today off without being out with all you guys. So I'm happy to be here. And it's going to be a nice long weekend.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad you're here. Feel free to take measures to trigger Chuck.
I will.
Because it just makes for great content.
Because it's Global Mental Health Day.
Yeah.
Right.
Well-being Day.
Well-being Day, excuse me. What is it, David? One more time?
Global Well-being Day.
Global Well-being Day, excuse me. So apparently my mental health needs work because I can't even keep focused.
Well, then maybe today will be cathartic for you.
Trigger right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well done, Dave. Ben, how are you doing?
Well, Jeff, I am a recovering tech writer. I have no mental health.
Yeah. We should start a support group.
Or a sports show. That we do in various segments throughout the week.
maybe we should become color commentators for other writers.
Nah.
No. Okay. Here's what I'm visualizing. And Ben is going into his third paragraph. Ooh, another typo. That's gonna hurt.
I'm actually picturing you now as the Padres commentator from The Phantom Menace.
Oh, yeah. All I need is a second head. Yeah. I could totally be the Padracer commentator. Yep.
And if you're wondering when we're going to be off the rails, we were never on them.
To be fair, when you're pod racing, you don't need rails. Yeah. Well, I'm thinking we might as well hop in on seeing what we do to Chuck's mental health. And we talked about T-Mobile yesterday and what they're doing. We kind of need to hit it again for entertainment value, if nothing else, but also because this does impact a lot of iPhone owners. So, Chuck, here's the deal. T-Mobile is raising
rates. It's a terrible deal.
Yeah. T-Mobile is raising rates on their users, but they're not actually raising rates because, come on, that would be horrible to do to their users. What they're doing instead is putting people into new plans that have a different charge rate or pay rate.
Mm-hmm. That have most of the features that they had on the plan that they were using this time last year.
This is not opt-in. They're just doing it. This is something where if you don't want to pay more for the plan you already have, then you have to opt out. And that leaves you on the plan that you had already, but in name only, because now you'll lose features. So if you want, So like Ben said, if you want to maintain your plan as you have it with the features that you're used to having, you will have to pay more for it. And when you call to complain, their support people will tell you that they're not raising your rates. They're just giving you a new plan that has a different pay scale on it.
Well, I'll tell you, being a T-Mobile customer, I opted out right away. I didn't even get the notification. I went into the T-Mobile chat from the T-Mobile app and said, I heard you guys are going to be changing the plans and forcing us into this higher rate. I says, I don't want to do that. And then right away, the rep didn't waste any time. Okay, so you want to opt out, right? I said, yes, I like to opt out. So it took me less than 3 minutes to get that done. But I agree with the fact that this is kind of crappy, honestly. I mean, you shouldn't be just saying, oh, you know, by the way, we're just going to move you over to this plan. I mean, I'm on the Magenta plan, and I compared both of them, because I considered looking, I think it's the, what do they call it, the 5G Go or whatever they're calling it now.
Yeah.
Plan now. And I looked at it, but then it was like, so much more money. I'm like, the plan I have now is perfectly fine. I have 100 gigabytes a day. I have 6 lines actively being used on my account. We never go over now for data. I mean, the hotspot is, I think, like 10 gigabytes. I got one family member that wanted to get more, so she's paying the extra $15 a month for that, and that's fine. She wants it, then you pay for it. So I've been on this plan basically since I've been at T-Mobile. God, it's got to be at least 5 years now, 5-6 years. And they changed their plan once, and when I changed to this Magenta plan, it was fine, and I complained. So, I mean, this also goes back to what they did with the payment stuff. You know, you had the fact that you could, I was using my credit card, and I thought it was great. I had my Apple card, and I was getting my 2% rebate on it, and it was great. So all of a sudden they say, oh, you know, we're not taking credit cards anymore. If you still want to get your $45 or $50 discount that you get for all the lines that you have, well, of course I'm going to change it to a checking account. Well, what did I do? I have a separate checking account that just for that. And I don't keep a lot of money in it, so I don't have to worry about it. If someone gets into my account, it doesn't matter, because it's not, there's much in there other than to pay the bill. So yeah, those are two things of what T-Mobile is kind of crappy, honestly, that what they've done. But in both cases, you're able to work around it, but your consumers should not have to do that. And I can understand you're going to have a bit of a rebellion against T-Mobile, and they move on to other carriers. But you know what? I've had AT&T, don't like them. Verizon, I work with them in business, and I don't like them. And you know, and so those are the top three. And you know, T-Mobile's been good to me. So otherwise, I'm fine with it. But again, I don't agree with why they did it.
Yeah. Two thoughts on this. Number one, for a company that's still, at least for PR purposes, clings to the notion of John Laguerre's Un-Carrier. This is the most carrier thing that any carrier could do.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, especially after they decided that having the option of doing 24-month payment plans instead of 36 was a feature instead of paying more for month.
That's a feature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, the other thing is, look, we are not normal tech users. We are far, far more in the know than the normal T-Mobile customer, which means after the middle of November, I think that's a changeover date. A lot of people who do not watch podcasts, a lot of people that definitely do not make podcasts, are going to have a nice, nasty little surprise in their bill.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then when they call and say, why did my bill go up? Then they are going to get, and I read this line yesterday, and I'm going to read it again. It's what the customer support people are being told to say when they have to deal with this situation. We are not raising the price of any of your plans. We are moving you to a newer plan with more benefits at a different cost.
I feel really sorry for the young men and women in those T-Mobile stores and in their service centers.
Yeah, they're going to get hammered.
Yeah.
Let me understand here a little bit. So the, because I was, while you guys were talking, I was trying to read through a couple of the articles that were linked to the article that Jeff posted in the chat. So if I'm reading this right, the only thing that I'm seeing is a change in data plans, the amount of data you get with the plan. If you move or you stay with the higher tier, you get more data. But I think all three of you said features. Are there other things that changed that weren't covered in these articles that I'm seeing?
There was one when the 5G Go plans came into existence. They pretty much took away any kind of deal for Magenta plan members and made those exclusive to the new plans.
Right.
So they didn't make the new plans better. They basically made the old plans worse.
Okay. Okay. So the Magenta plan. All right. So there are no new features. They're just removing features from the, and I'm sorry, I'm not sure what between Go and Magenta is. So what I'm hearing is they're removing, but what features are they removing? That's what I guess I'm trying to get to, other than the, well, actually, all right, again, let me try this again. So the new plan adds more data. The old plan, though, allegedly removes features. What features are being removed? Because I can't find that anywhere in any of the articles.
The only one that I can see is T-Mobile's deals when upgrading your phone.
Okay.
No, big deal. That wouldn't affect me anyway.
It would for a customer more on a budget.
Yeah. I mean, because I don't even buy my equipment through T-Mobile, I buy it direct through Apple, so.
Right. So that's what I'm trying to understand, because I always hear these feature things and I'm never sure how many features there can be for my phone, my carrier plan. I mean, it's as far as I'm concerned, it's, do I have a data cap? How much data do I have? Mm-hmm. Et cetera, et cetera. So there are only so many features they can sell you that are actually worth anything. Mm-hmm. And so listening to you all, either way, no matter what they did, there was going to be an uproar. The only thing that they could have done, maybe that might have been better, is just say, as of October 15th, whatever, that you have a choice and you're going to have to opt A or B. So there's no opt-in, there's no opt-out, there's an opt.
Mm-hmm. I think what they should have done, Chuck, is not do this as an opt-in, opt-out thing, but when your contract is up for renewal, till you hear the new contract options that are available to you. And then at that point, you decide if you want a new contract or not. But mid-contract saying, okay, this is what your new thing is going to be, and if you don't like it, you have to opt out. Putting people in an opt-out position, to me, feels very aggressive towards your customers, and it's not a good customer experience, especially for a company that has been very vocal for years about how they're not like the other carriers. They care about their customers and they want to take care of them. And so when you do something like this, that goes against what they're saying. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a bad publicity move for the company, regardless of what features may or may not be removed.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't disagree with that, Jeff. There's only one thing that I will say, and somehow I always end up being the guy that argues against everybody else. So I would say if the ability to change the contract terms is within the original contract you signed, then you agreed to it. And so they can do pretty much anything they want, and you've already agreed to it. Mm-hmm. So that's on you. Sorry. That's, you know, good, bad, indifferent. That's on you.
And yeah, and you need to pay attention. That's true. Yeah, you need to pay attention to all the terms and know what you're getting into. The average person, they're not going to do that because
But here's the thing, Chuck. That's like trying to get out of a speeding ticket saying, "Officer, I didn't know the speed limit was."
Well,
how many times does that work?
I mean, yes, it's your responsibility to know, and. But at the same time, with the speed limit sign, it's pretty obvious and it's clear what the terms are. The terms are you don't drive over 45 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. With a phone plan, the terms are much vaguer, or well, probably not vaguer, but at least obfuscated. And putting the terms in there that, hey, we can change your plan anytime we want, that doesn't surprise me. That just seems like the sort of wording that a company would want to put in there so that they have control over the features and services they offer. The problem is when you're presenting your company as a friend, in essence, and then you act contrary to that, that's a really good way to lose the trust of your users.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with that. I mean, I think there would, and of course we would second guess it no matter which way they went. I really do feel like the best option, it looked to me, they went with option B, you know, that, cause I'm not even sure C would have been the best option. That we're going to leave you on your old plan, but here's a new one. Because for whatever reason, they may not be able to be making money on the old plan. And you know, if I were sitting in the decision maker's chair, I'd want to see, you know, some kind of spreadsheet that says, okay, this is how many people we have under contract for 12 months, 24 months, 36 months. And so, you know, how much revenue difference is this going to make to us? You know, unfortunately, what are the casualties going to be? And what's the better deal for us? Because I have shareholders to answer to. Mm-hmm. So, but I think you're right. I think that the other part of that equation that is really, really difficult to measure is how much of a PR hit am I going to take? Because here we are slamming it, you know, and to one degree or another. And so, you know, it makes me a little less trusting because up to this point, T-Mobile has seemed like a pretty good option, you know, and now, yeah, maybe not so much. So
it's interesting. I'm just looking at my account here to see, you know, they usually give you the option to be able to, you know, compare plans. And I say, you know, maybe I want to manage my plan. So I go in my current plan and you're right, Ben, the upgrade ready feature, I don't get, who cares? I don't care about that. My premium data is 100 gigabytes. That go 5G next is unlimited. But I have the price of what I'm paying, and you put the comparison next to that plan, it says contact us. So they're not even letting you look at what the price difference is on this. You know, it's my plan's got an extra, I only get 5 gigabytes of hotspot data. I'm fine with that. I don't care. I don't use it that much. As I mentioned before, my sister-in-law does, who's on my account. So she pays for it. That's the extra $15 she pays. She's still paying next to nothing for this account because we're splitting up among 6 people. And plus, they gave me 2 free lines. So I have 8 lines on my phone. 2 of them I don't even pay for because they just say, okay, free lines on us. And I've had those for years. So I have them as test accounts and whatever, or a second account on my iPhone in case I needed an extra line. But you aren't going to see them offering that anymore. So as long as they give it to me for free, fine. You start charging me, I'm going to cancel it. But there's really what the big difference is. But I think the bottom line is here is the fact that they just said, oh, we're going to do this, and you have to go and have to spend the time to opt out. Unfortunately, there's going to be uneducated consumers, like you said. They're just not going to think about it. Well, I'll just pay for it. Just like that's what the cable TV companies hope you do. That's what the internet providers hope you do. We'll make a change, and hopefully you don't notice. Mm-hmm. Which is crap. So it's not just T-Mobile. They're crappy about this all the time. We just have social media news organizations that monitor what everything that they do, and now we're educated because we're following that on a daily basis. Unfortunately, other consumers are not.
Yep. All right. So since we did talk about this yesterday, also, I'm going to move us on to another.
We won't be talking about one more time later, too.
Jeff, can I just do one more thing here? Because I'm trying to find this. Oh, great. Well, no wonder. Now this is interesting, and this to me is not good. So I went to T-Mobile's site, and I wanted, because I was looking to compare the plans. Okay. And so what it did, it asked me for how many lines I wanted and what's my current carrier. And the option was other. I didn't use the other option. I said AT&T. Next, it asked me for my phone number, my email address, my name.
Of course.
So I put in a fake number and a fake address for purposes of this. Mm-hmm. Right away, we're calling you right now.
So someone's getting a call
on that number.
Yeah. And they're going to be asking for Joe Smith. Sorry, there's no Joe Smith here. So, I mean, that.
Oh, my God, my phone's ringing. What the hell, Chuck?
That's where I got that number. But, now that to me is that's obnoxious. Yeah. That's worse than anything else we've been discussing.
They all do it. T-Mobile is not the only one that does that.
I don't know. It's been so long since I've actually done one of those cold let's look into it kind of thing. But I don't know. I kind of can't get excited over this one. I see your points, and I do think maybe there was a better way. But
I'm with you. I'm not overly excited about this. It's disappointing, I guess would be a good word for it. That they did this because. Come on, T-Mobile. You have so many loyal customers out there, like me and Ben and many others that are on T-Mobile. Why are you doing this? It just doesn't make sense.
Well, maybe this next story will get you a little more rattled, Chuck. Because it is lawsuit palooza time.
There we go.
Here's a class action lawsuit that's been
brought. I did look at this one too, Jeff.
Claiming that the AirTag is responsible for multiple murders.
Quote unquote.
And Dave just showed off a great new feature in macOS Wine Country, being able to get the visual effects. Let's get some love going here. Yeah.
That one didn't go. Oh, there it goes. It's working now.
Anyhow, here's the deal. This lawsuit has been filed claiming that AirTags are being used by stalkers across the United States. Apple isn't doing everything that they need to protect the potential victims of stalking, and this, hold on, I have to find it because I want to get this part right. The class action lawsuit alleges that, where is it? There's the part in here where they talk about the supposed murder, one specific murder, and now I can't find it. Here it is. So quoting from the suit, consequences have been as severe as possible. Multiple murders have occurred in which the murderer used an AirTag to track the victim, the complaint alleged. One plaintiff from Indiana, Lapresha Sanders, lost her son after his girlfriend allegedly used an AirTag to track his movements and then followed him to a bar and ran him over with her car, killing him at the scene. Okay, Chuck, go ahead and just run with it.
How do they fix this? I thought Apple fixed
this. She was going to kill him anyway. It just was a matter of when she was going to get the opportunity. So yeah. That's my first judgment. Personal responsibility, people. You know, Apple has given you things to protect yourself. And, you know, it's not Apple's obligation to protect you. They've already done a lot of things. Looking here at a link to a 9-to-5 Mac, you know, they had a couple suggestions, which are not bad suggestions, I guess. But theoretically, they could also make the AirTag less useful. One of the mm-hmm. things they suggested was, where is it? I lost it here. Yeah, I definitely lost it. I think one of the things was that if an AirTag spends too much time with the wrong person, that it should be deactivated after a certain period of time. Well, okay, so that defeats the purpose
of an AirTag.
Yeah, and so that's the thing. You know, these are supposed to be tracking devices. They are being misused, just like guns, knives, cars, baseball bats, chainsaws, you know, and various other items of assault. Yeah. Plus the fact it's a class action, you know, it's Apple and it's a class action. So therefore money.
Well, that's, for the lawyers, money.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They're encouraging this. I mean, anybody that's had, you know, has lost someone through an act of violence deserves a lot of sympathy. There's no question about it. But, you know, trying to blame someone else for this other than the person, the individual who committed the act, this is really difficult.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not like Apple has sat on their thumbs and do nothing here. They have created alerts to let you know if there is a AirTag that is not your own in close proximity. They have worked with Google to make that alert cross-platform and basically, there's efforts to try to kind of get this feature into any tracking device. I mean, let everyone in, I can't talk today, on a little secret. Tile and whatever tracker you can think of, they have this problem too because they do the same thing.
Yes, and Tile did nothing for years to address privacy or security, prevent stalkers. They did nothing. And it's only been, I think, in the last year where they've started to roll out some features that offer at least a basic level of security for potential victims, stalking victims, and maybe it's the cynic in me, but considering they had no interest in addressing this potential problem for years and years and years, and only started doing this after AirTags were on the market and after people started complaining about the ability to be tracked, that's when they finally started taking these small measures. And yes, people have said, yeah, but you know, the whole network, it's so much easier to track someone with an AirTag. And sure, to a degree, because there's so many iPhones out there, but people forget that Tile struck a deal with Amazon to use the sidewalk feature with Echo devices, and which also ties into, I believe, Eero, because Amazon owns Eero. So Wi-Fi base stations, also with Comcast Xfinity, with their Wi-Fi routers built into their cable modems. The mesh network that's out there that can track tiles is ubiquitous, because it doesn't matter where you are, there's a high likelihood that if it's not a smartphone with the Tile app, it's one of these other devices that people are using all the time that aren't even thinking about, that allow you to track Tile devices.
I'm, as kind of everybody has alluded to, I mean, Apple has done everything they can, almost, well, everything they practically can to help that security without significantly degrading the device. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, if someone steals my car, which has an AirTag hidden in it, I'm not going to tell people where, but there's a pretty good chance that it's stolen by a person with an iPhone. Well, if after a certain time it deactivates, you're helping the thief.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And let's not overlook the fact that there is an element of, there's an element of clickbait here with the headline, because, and there's an element of clickbait with the class action, because they're focusing on murders as opposed mm-hmm. to, we've seen plenty of headlines about stalking, which is bad enough, but now we have, you know, somebody trying to take it to another level to get attention for themselves. And I mean, I'm sorry, but they're clients too, you know. And again, I extreme sympathy to anyone who's lost anyone under these circumstances. So I'm not, I don't want to appear any more callous than I probably already appear, but you know, this just, it's a product. Just Ben took the point, you know. Yeah, we can make things a lot less effective and make it harder to track, but then it makes it the product that much less useful.
Yeah, and I mean, if let's just say all AirTags and other trackers disappear tomorrow, people can just go back to using Facebook to stalk people.
Yeah. Or a Tile. Or a Samsung tracker.
No, well,
or
GPS. I said, or another tracker, Jeff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, see, here's the problem. I multitask like crap.
But I mean, end of the day, criminals are going to criminal. They're going to find a way to do it, unfortunately. And in this modern technological world, yeah, that makes it a little bit easier. But it also makes a lot of legitimate uses a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
So here's something that sounds very much like an Apple fanboy. But if you have a concern over being tracked by an AirTag, then you should have an iPhone. Because that's your first best protection against being tracked by an AirTag,
right?
Is to have an iPhone on you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and again, that, I mean, that I'm not trying to show for Apple here, but if you really have a legitimate concern, and if AirTags are the most popular tracker out there, then arm yourself with an iPhone that at least in theory can help notify you of an item, an AirTag that is near you that shouldn't be near you for a certain period of time, and then you can take steps to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Man, we're sheeple.
Well, maybe so, Ben, but at the same time, you know, if I'm waiting for somebody to suggest, you know, well, we need an anti-tracker device that I can click my belt, put in a purse, or, you know, put in a pocket that will alert me if there's anything near me, a tile, an AirTag, or
those
anything
exist.
Else. Yeah. Rowan, Jeff? Rowan?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. At one point, a couple years ago, I think, it doesn't matter. At one point, I was contacted by someone who was legit concerned that that they might be tracked by someone, and I won't go into the details for their privacy, and so they needed a way to be able to tell if a tracking device, not just AirTags but any kind of tracking device, was with them or near them. They needed to be able to tell if there were like hidden cameras, and you can go on Amazon and you can buy these little handheld devices that aren't much different in size than an iPhone, that can monitor for radio frequencies, like for covert transmitters, for Bluetooth, and anyhow, so the devices are already out there and they're not that expensive.
I wonder how easy they are to use.
Most of them are pretty easy. It's basically turn them on and move them around and watch for the lights.
Okay. But it sounds like that does require some human intervention as opposed to being an automatic thing like your iPhone is.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I've got to be walking around all day scanning my body, scanning my car to see if there's a tracker, or my backpack or whatever, to see if there's a tracker. But with the iPhone's constantly monitoring for that. Admittedly, it's only monitoring for the AirTag, as mm-hmm. opposed to another type of tracker, but it's automatically monitoring. So get an iPhone if you have concerns.
All right, Chuck. I'm going to drop another potential trigger here for you. Wow. It's lawsuit time.
Woohoo!
So here's the deal. A developer that was working on a fitness app for Meta, a VR thing. Well, it was going to be released on there on the whole Meta VR thing. When Meta found out that they were also working on the product to be released on Vision Pro, they blacklisted the company and aren't allowing their software on to the Meta VR thing. And the way this played out was the company that was working with Meta or was creating the app and was going to be presenting it at a Meta keynote thing. When Meta found out that this is also being developed for Apple's Vision Pro, and this was like very shortly before the keynote event, they pulled the person or that their part from the presentation, so that wasn't going to happen. Told them the whole deal was off, and put them on a blacklist of developers that they will not do business with, and they had like a working contract to make this happen, and had already paid this guy or this company over $1 million, and now they're suing him for over $3 million in damages, and so the lawsuit alleges that it's because they were also developing the product for Vision Pro.
Well,
Well, I mean, if they have some kind of exclusive contract.
And that's what I was thinking too. I have not found anything that says this was an exclusive contract.
Yeah. But I mean, if they just did this because they found out he was developing for another platform, yeah, this is a huge overstep by Meta. And God, my brain stopped working for a second there.
You know why? It's the radio signals from that AirTag we stuck in your pocket.
You stalkers. Oh.
Yeah. But
Ben has it exactly right. I mean, so they've paid this guy a million something. I mean, I feel like we're back to the T-Mobile story. If Meta was not smart enough to put something in the contract that said we want you to develop exclusively for us, then that's on them.
and it looks
But
like it's on them. Yeah.
it well, we don't know because we don't see the
We haven't seen
contract.
the contract.
So that if I mean, otherwise it's a really, really bad look for Meta that it for and their attorneys. If they didn't put that in, then absolutely not. If they did, then the developer is absolutely in the wrong. And the only thing there, the only mitigating factor there could be it, because if this article says they were in talks with Apple about Vision Pro. So what does that mean? Does that, I'm going to go crazy with an example. But if he were developing a virtual jogging app for Meta, but was talking to Apple about inventing a virtual yoga app for the Vision Pro, then you have to decide, are those two comparable enough in the tr within the terms of the contract? So the contract is going to have to be analyzed and looked at. I mean, this, yeah, admittedly, this looks bad for Meta, but again, I can't believe I'm defending Meta, but this could be clickbait. This could be clickbait because it's Meta. And we have come to, for better or worse, expect bad behavior from Meta.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to look b really bad for one of the two parties here. Either the developer breached his contract, or Meta grossly overstepped. It's going to be one of the two.
And it should be pretty easy.
And I've scanned through the court filing, and it doesn't include any wording about, well, hold on, there's one section I haven't scanned yet. Oh no, that wouldn't be relevant for that. Okay, anyhow, it does. There's nothing in here about the contract specifically. Oh wait, there's more to it. Okay, so first, okay, so there, I actually can't speak intelligently about that because I don't know, because there's so much more to this. I thought it was like a 9-page filing, but it's actually 30. Okay, so I haven't found anything yet about their contract.
Yeah, we can update you next week whether who's at fault here.
Well, Ben, we can't because this
Oh.
is a complaint by Andre Elijah Immersive Inc. versus Meta Platforms, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's funny how complaints really seldom have a lot to do with the actual facts of a case.
Okay, so there's a line in here which is a line that's necessary for this sort of case, but if you include it and it's wrong, then your case is just going to get thrown out. So it says Meta and Allo. So this is w one of the other companies that was going to be part of the promotion thing. So The lawsuit alleges that Meta and Allo conspired to screw this guy over, essentially. Meta and Allo simultaneously terminated their contracts with plaintiff without right, power, privilege, or justification. So the implication there is that there is no exclusivity clause in the contract that Meta and Allo had with the developer. Now, if it turns out that there actually is an exclusivity contract, then the suit should not have been brought, and it'll just get dismissed.
Yeah,
but Jeff, I haven't read the whole thing here because I just became aware of this when you put the link in. But one of my favorite sentences so far is on page 2 in the introduction in the complaint. This is a case about a Silicon Valley vertical monopoly pushing a new market entrant out of the fastest growing markets in human history. Out of the fastest growing markets in human history. So first of all, could we please have a grammar check? But second of all, you know, you are really clearly framing, you know, here's poor little developer and big bad company.
Okay,
so as I'm scanning through more of this, we'll have to come back and talk about this one more later, because I'm down partway through page 10, and this is turning into a freaking soap opera.
Did Alejandro come back from the dead?
I think that's gonna happen on page 11. Looking through this, it reads like when they figured out that this developer was also going to be developing for Vision Pro, that they intentionally made moves to screw this person over, block them out of the market. This other company that's making a VR fitness thing is being pulled into this, and they're going to be using that to help screw over this other company. And seriously, it's if you're into reading legal documents, this one is a soap opera.
My favorite defendant is Robot Invader.
they have Cylons in this.
Hey, apparently they come not from Caprica but from Delaware.
Well, okay, yeah, because okay, we have the companies are in Delaware.
Yeah, and now we know that Cylons come from Delaware.
Yeah, and here's the twist. There was a non-compete agreement amongst the companies so they wouldn't compete with each other. But there's nothing about not being able to develop for other platforms.
So and it's kind of how the non-compete is interpreted.
Well, and it goes on to say that, hold on, let me reread this section again. So this reads like they're explicitly stating that there was no exclusivity in the contract. So, yeah. Anyhow.
So I have a prediction. Depending on which way this goes, either somebody on Meta's legal team for reviewing contracts is going to get fired, or there's going to be a malpractice suit against the attorney for the plaintiff who reviewed the contract and let him sign it.
All right,
so here I'll add to the prediction. So my addendum to that is that ultimately Meta is going to pay the developer money to go away and just make the lawsuit disappear.
Yeah.
And
then someone in the legal team will get fired.
Or there will be a medical or a legal malpractice suit. Yeah.
Yeah.
With you, Ben. Yeah.
And maybe we'll see this product show up on Vision Pro, or maybe not, because there will also be an NDA that goes along with whatever the settlement is. And so we won't know what really happened behind the scenes.
Which might come out in a disbarment hearing.
Yeah.
Lots of
this opera. Is a soap opera.
See, it's totally a soap opera. Yeah. Unlike TSO Host, which is just solid, reliable. And I mean, you know what to expect every week when you tune in for TSO Host. Yeah. See, that's awesome. TSO Host. Yeah. TSO Host. Let's get some fireworks going. Yeah. Chuck, this is going to be your bane on Mac Voices Live, because we will now be showing you our love every single week.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Is there a way to block this?
Nope. So when we're showing our love for TSO Hosts, we're doing that because they're helping us be here every single week. They're a web hosting company, and they know how to reliably do the server thing and the hosting thing and the streaming thing. And they're bringing that to us because the resources that it takes to do what we do is beyond what we'd be able to manage on our own. So they just stepped up and said, yeah, we love supporting the community and you're awesome. So here you go. Here's the bandwidth you need so you can live stream shows every single week. Here's the hosting space you need so that there's a place for the website. And here's the extra server space you need so there's a place for all the show files to live so people can watch or listen to podcasts whenever they want. And they're just very generously giving that to us. So we really appreciate it. And I'm saying thank you, TSO Host, right now, and letting them know I appreciate that because I'm saying it. Since you're not on the show live and can't do it yourself, just go out on social media and give them some online love and thank TSO Host for being here and supporting us. That's all we need to do. But, you know, if by chance you're thinking I should go buy a domain name because I'm thinking letstriggerchuck.com would be an awesome website. So you go over to TSO Host and you add the domain name to your cart, and then you realize, well, if I've got the domain name, I need to have a website where I've got it set up. So all it does is feed Chuck articles that are going to trigger him. All right, add your hosting package in. And now, just to sweeten the pot, use the discount code BTN20, and now you get 20% off that order. So they're being incredibly generous to our BTN family as well. So thank you, TSO Host, for being here and helping me come up with a great idea for a website just for Chuck. But seriously, thank you, TSO Host, for being here. Okay, so now here's the part where I appreciate Patrice even more than usual, because now I'm going to try and tell you all about the live chat. And here's the deal. When we're doing the show live, you can hop into our live chat and see the links for articles, whatever discussions are going on. And then when we do our cool things, you're going to be able to see the links for all of those. And it's just a great resource to go along with the show. So how do you participate in the live chat? And if you were watching live right now, you'd see that Ben is totally being an awesome wingman for me, because he just dropped in a link, chat.britishtechnetwork.com. That's where you go, where you log in, and now you can see the live chat as it's happening and follow along and participate. And then if you're doing well, like today, you would have to do where you watch or listen to the show recording later, because we are having an audio issue on our end that's screwing up the live stream. So we have to, we're getting that sorted out. It's not a TSO host thing. It's an us thing. So you'll have to go to the transcript from the live chat to be able to see the links. And to do that, you would go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then you'll see this amazingly awesome calendar that Patrice has built, and click on the day for the show. And so for today, that is October 13th, 2023. And then you can find the chat for today, and you'll be able to see the links, and which will also include the cool things that we're about to do. And I feel like I got through that pretty well today.
Good.
If you want to watch someone really crash and burn with it, well, you can watch me from the big show on October 12th, 2023. Yeah, it took a village, and it was mostly the rest of the village pulling this idiot through. Yeah, it was rough.
It is Friday the 13th, by the way.
Oh my God, it is. Oh, and I don't have a black cat. Oh, I used to. Anyhow, all right. So while Ben goes and finds his cool thing, which will be a black cat because it's Friday the 13th. Patrice, thank you for doing this when you were here. I really do appreciate that. All right. So now it's time for some cool things. And Ben ran off. So Dave, tell us about your cool thing.
Yeah, I have this keyboard I bought a little while ago. And I'm not a gamer, but I was always intrigued to have these type of keyboards. This is the Durgod TGK 200 wireless mechanical keyboard. If I can get it on camera here, you can see how it lights up. It's matte mechanical. It's Bluetooth. It's USB. Nice little portable keyboard, and the buttons can be interchanged, and you can customize it the way you want. It's both Bluetooth and USB. That was a kind of a cool little keyboard. They got like a $15 off coupon on it. I think when I bought it, it was like 30, 35 bucks. They had a much bigger discount. So, but there's still a discount available for this. But yeah, for someone who's kind of into keyboards and want to try out a mechanical keyboard, or if you're a gamer, yeah, this might be a good choice for you too. Check it out.
I was about to ask you a bunch of questions about it, but they actually answer my questions. So you can swap out the switches.
Yep. Switches can be swapped out.
Which is good. What kind of switches does it come with? And so they're red. That's good for gaming. And yeah.
I don't think there was a lot of, there wasn't any, I guess I still got the box. I don't know if I had, there was much stuff in there, but it's a pretty cool keyboard. I haven't had a lot of time to play with it, but I'm going to want to play a little more with it to see what it'll do.
Does it come with a keycap puller?
Let me see. I think it might. Yes, it does.
Okay, good. Because if you're going to have hot swappable keys, there you go. You need that tool. And it's lame when you buy a keyboard.
And you got the tweezer tool too.
Yep. Okay. So you have both tools you need to be able to pull keycaps off and swap out switches. Yeah. That's awesome.
Okay. Better question. Is there a full sized version of this?
There is.
There is full size plus magnetic wrist rest.
So you can see it closer.
And Ben, that one's $95.
Yep. Oh, that's still a good deal.
And that
okay,
one...
Jeff, put that link in the chat too.
Sure. I can do that.
So, Dave, why? I'm curious. Why did you select this? It's not.
Well, it was a good deal. I think the deal
was it. Okay.
It was $35. You know, which for a gaming keyboard, that's pretty cheap.
Oh yeah.
Full RGB.
This has that too. So I've always liked, we all love keyboards, trying to try different ones and see how they feel. And I don't know if that would be it'd be a full-time keyboard, but I mean, something to play with, and for the minimal cost it was.
Yeah, that's cool. I like having a backlit keyboard because I tend to do a lot of work with the lights lower in my place. And while I touch mm-hmm. type, it's nice when I look down to be able to clearly see the keys.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they even have the storage for the USB adapter right there. You can store
it. Yeah, it also uses whatchamacallit.
It's Bluetooth and it's
yeah, Bluetooth.
Bluetooth over USB. Mm-hmm. There you go. And Ben, if you go with a full size one, you can choose between brown or red switches.
There's the colors.
Definitely the red.
You could do all kinds of different colors to set the keyboard to.
Oh, is there an app for this?
I didn't find one. I think it's there's instructions to do the programmability of it.
Okay.
Yeah,
I actually kind of like those colors. Kind of fun. It flashes.
Yeah, my keyboard. So I have a Keychron keyboard. And I'm assuming it's similar for your keyboard, where you have like key combination mm-hmm. or specific key that you press, and it lets you rotate through the different options for lighting. Mine is set so that it's just white backlight. That's it.
They kept the instructions simple too. Just one sheet tells you everything.
Nice. All right. Well, that's very cool. And okay, Ben, there's another full size one that has a media knob on it instead of a magnetic
Oh, I want the media knob.
Well, hold on, let me drop that one in here too, as long as we're
spending Ben's money.
Yep, there you go. And that one comes with red switches.
Oh, this one's full. This is much cheaper too.
Yeah, it's So Ben,
hold on. Except it doesn't. Well, I have a number pad. All I need is the arrow buttons.
Yeah, you're right. This one doesn't have the number pad on it. Okay,
no, it just has the up down arrows and extended F key. The delete insert moved over.
But it is much cheaper,
and it has that media knob.
5%, you get 5% off that too.
Awesome. All right. Well, Ben, try and top that.
Well, I'll try to top that with some tossed salad and scrambled eggs.
You know, I would have been disappointed if you hadn't done that reference.
I just watched it last night too.
Yep. So, there is a third member now of the Cheers family. Frasier has re-entered the building for his second time around. This new series is based around Frasier being the father of a middle-aged man, while still being Frasier, dealing with a son who is much closer to his father than Frasier. Mm-hmm. A nephew who is almost exactly like Niles.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of dealing with that new phase in his life.
Now, I saw a trailer for this, but I wasn't watching super close. Am I correct that he moved back to Boston?
Yes.
Okay.
But he was living in Chicago.
Okay, so he went from Boston to Seattle to Chicago to Boston?
Boston. Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. It's having seen a little bit of it is as hilarious as you would hope.
It was. I already watched all both episodes last night. It was really good.
Yeah.
So what network is it on?
Paramount Plus. I put the link in the chat, in the chat.
Paramount Plus. Oh,
Yeah.
you oh, I just I hadn't clicked that link yet. I assumed it
Yeah,
was your cool thing. But
the
okay.
IMDb link also links to it.
Okay.
Did you put that in there? I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's up above your cool thing.
Oh, there it is. Sorry.
Yeah, Ben was off getting his secondary cool thing, his black cat that he was showing off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is why Dave, you ended up going first.
But I have to say the cast is hilarious. In addition to Kelsey Grammer returning, you have a personal favorite of mine, Jess Salguero, playing Eve, who was a friend of Freddie Crane's, Fraser's sons. It's just perfect. And I'm hoping as things go by, they can hope they can bring back some of the other Frasier slash Cheers characters.
Yeah, I think at first they
Because,
weren't a lot weren't
yeah.
interested coming back.
Oh, yeah.
That would be cool.
I would really, really like to see a return of Sam.
Never know.
And maybe in that kind of a little bit of a tribute to Kirstie Alley.
Yeah.
That would be fun. Okay, cool. So I guess I do need to put Frasier on my list, the new Frasier.
Yes.
The first two episodes dropped, so that's why I watched.
Okay, cool. Cool. All right, Chuck, what do you have for us?
So this has been the trigger episode, eh? Okay, so I'm going to trigger back.
Oh no. Fire
This
away.
is the autobiography, or excuse me, the biography of Elon Musk by Walter Isaacson.
Too late, I already bought
I
it. Well, part of my Audible plan.
I just finished listening to this on Audible because the last couple of days I've been doing a substantial amount of driving, and I know that a lot of people have already passed judgment on Mr. Musk. I think that you need to hear this. And look, I know that also people have lots of opinions about Walter Isaacson as a biographer. I kind of appreciated this because I didn't, in my opinion, it didn't feel like he was passing a lot of judgment on the things he was reporting on. He just stated them right out. So, but I feel like I came away with a lot better understanding of how Elon Musk's mind works, the kind of person he is, for better or worse, and what some of his motivations are. At the very least, I think you will gain an appreciation for the accomplishments he's already had. And, you know, we're not quite sure exactly where he is with the whole Twitter slash X thing, but there are a lot of really interesting anecdotes. And from a business perspective, he is obviously an incredibly difficult taskmaster, but there are echoes in here of Steve Jobs pushing his people, you know, again, for better or worse, to accomplish things that they didn't think they could do. So I would ask you, if you can, go into this with an even keel mind, and if you can't, go in anyway, because I think you will find it very, very interesting. It was well worth the time. Yes, it's a very long read or very long listen, but it's still, I think, well worth the time because he is such an important figure in our current society, and especially in our tech society.
Yeah, and to be perfectly honest, I do see a lot of Steve Jobs and Musk. I may have liked Jobs' choices a lot more than the ones Musk have made, but I see the definite parallels, which would make Walter Isaacson the perfect person to do this autobiography.
And hardcover is $20.99, Kindle $16.99, and it's showing me the audiobook is $5.95. Oh,
where is
discounted
that?
Audible membership. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You have to have an Audible. I mean, I've had an Audible membership, so I just use one of the credits was covered it.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And don't forget about Libby, because this will be a book that will be in your local public library.
Oh, yeah.
You could borrow that way. So it, I don't know, there may be a waiting list for it, but I think it's well worth the time.
Cool. All right. Okay. So then that brings us to mine.
Your Legos.
Well, I did pick up a Lego kit that was my cool thing a while ago, and I haven't built it yet. The space one where it's like the vignettes of space travel.
Yep.
But I haven't built it yet. So when I have time to build it, I can do a show and tell.
The only question I have, are there Cylons from Delaware?
As soon as I build them, there will be. All right. So do you want practical or entertainment for my cool thing?
Practical entertainment.
Practical.
All right. So practical. And Chuck, you actually are the inspiration for this one.
Oh God, I'm so scared.
I'm afraid.
No, and when you see this, you'll be like, "Oh, really? Huh." Anyhow, so here's the deal, Chuck. You did a cool thing recently where it was actually really cool, and I was ready to buy it. And it's a basket sort of thing that attaches to your desk, so you have like a storage thing underneath your desk. And I thought this would be perfect. I'll put it on the back of my desk, and I have something to hold, like the power bricks and stuff for my sit stand desk, where they can't be down on the floor, so I can't just like balance stuff on the back of the desk. I'll put them in that. It'll be perfect. What turns out, when you have a sit stand desk, you have all this other stuff going on underneath the desk, and there's actually not room for a basket like that. So I did some research, and what I found was this like tray thing that runs under your desk. Excuse me. So you can lay cables and power bricks and stuff in it. And it has like little notches in it, so you can run cables in, but it's open all the way through. So it's not like you're trying to fight to get cables and stuff into this thing. It's just like a channel that lays there, and it'll work with the sit stand desk, no problem. So I put this on my desk, and I realized that I actually can't sit the power bricks that I need to put into it because they can't reach over to where it is. Since this thing is built as two separate pieces, so you can make it shorter, longer, whatever. What I did was I left it as two separate pieces, and it comes with two clamps. So I put one clamp in the middle of each one, and I put this at the edges of my desk at both ends. So now this thing that's supposed to be a single tray, I'm using it as two trays, one at each end of the desk. The power bricks for my studio lights sit in this, cables run across it, and it works perfectly. And it's like $19 for this thing. And I got it because you inspired me to go look for this, Chuck.
20% off too.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's 20% off. Yeah. Even better.
I love deals.
So
Jeff, this is interesting because I looked at a number of these. In fact, there is one sitting back here that I have to install yet. It's not this one. But something I didn't know about this one, because I do remember seeing this, something I didn't know about this one, though, it was that you could, obviously you could break it into two pieces, but I didn't realize you could put the clamp in the center, which makes perfect sense. So that you, that's one less that little, you know, tab sticking into the back of your desk. So
what I ended up doing for the center thing, because the screw heads, the nuts, it's interesting how they're showing it in the photo where they have the screw heads going through the top of it. I did it the other way, which is how they show in the instructions, where the screw heads are underneath so that you don't have these posts sticking down to catch on stuff. Right. The nuts are just a little too small, I think, for the slats where you would put the braces or the clamps. So I ended up throwing a washer on as well, because I have washers sitting around. And that took care of that problem for me. So I was worried that over time the piece could like shift loose from where the nut is and then kind of fall off. Throwing a washer on took care of that problem.
Interesting different use case, Jeff. You know, the one I recommended was not intended as necessarily a holder, because like you say, you could use it for that, but they're not the channels that are quite as easily accommodating. And this one, you know, you're going to drop that power brick in there long ways, like you would expect it to go. So yeah, I just added this to my wish list. I've got to do a little measuring, but this is that's not a bad idea by any means.
Yeah. It also comes with some Velcro straps. And it comes with all the tools you need for assembly. And it comes with adhesive foam pads for the flat part of the clamp and for the round part that puts the pressure on the underside of your desk. And they did it right, because it includes more adhesive pads than you need. So when you put the first one on wrong and realize it's not where you want it and you peel it off and now it's ruined, you have spares.
Very nice.
All right. So with that, now it's time for me to say, Chuck, where can people find you?
You can find me at MacVoices.com. That's where we talk to a lot of really interesting people. We also do Mac Voices Live Tuesday nights with everybody on this panel. And that is at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, whatever time that is, wherever you are, at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. And on pretty much all of the socials, because I do try to cover all of them or as many as I possibly can, can be found as at Chuck Joyner.
Awesome.
Jeff, I feel triggered. Thank you.
then my work here is done.
Yeah, I don't have the little hand gesture thing, so somebody do one for me.
Well, have you updated to macOS Wine Country?
Not on this machine, no.
Then you're right. Yeah. But
I did.
Just for Chuck.
Seriously, how do you do that?
Have you updated to Wine Country on your computer?
Yeah, I have. I did like months ago.
Okay. So if you do two thumbs up, you get the fireworks behind you. And if you do a heart, you get the hearts.
Do I have to turn this stuff on manually?
No, it's on by default. Let's see, if you hold your, maybe you have to have your hand fully in the shot, because you can also get like a thumbs up bubble. This is the one that I have a hard time getting to happen.
You guys look ridiculous.
Oh yeah.
I give up.
So there's a few of them that you can do anyhow. So Dave, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me at In Touch with iOS and intouchwithios.com. Everybody on this panel will be recording a new episode here in a couple hours. So if you look forward to that next episode after you watch and listen to this show. I'm on my YouTube channel, is youtube.com/intouchwithios. And you find me on Mac Voices Live, as Chuck mentioned, on Tuesday nights, usually, unless I have a work meeting or a work dinner. And I'm also on most of the social media at DaveG65, including Mesta.
Awesome. And since Chuck got a fireworks, you get one too.
Yeah.
It doesn't like me.
Well, don't worry. You'll get a special effect too, I have no doubt. Ben, where can people find you?
Well, Jeff, you can find me at Ben Raythig on the overwhelming cornucopia of social media networks. Raythig.tech for my thoughts. They're worth more than a penny. There's a little show called Mac Voices with a Mr. Chuck Joyner on Tuesdays. Another show called In Touch with iOS with Mr. Dave Ginsburg, usually on Thursdays, except for today when it's in 2 hours. And of course, Thursday and Friday here on the the British Tech Network.
Yes, on the Let's Trigger Chuck show. Man, yes. That was more difficult to say than I expected. Yeah. All right. So let's see if we can get you some balloons going. There we go. Balloons for Ben. Oh, I haven't tried a thumbs down. Oh, it's like the weather outside.
Yep.
Awesome. All right. So for me, let's see. Jay Gamut on social media. Mastodon and Instagram. And yes, I know I need to get caught up on Inktober. I need to do yesterday and today's. Still, don't worry, I'll get caught up. All right, then for shows, let's see. Most Tuesdays on Chuck's Mac Voices Live, then most Thursdays, although it'll be today, on Dave's In Touch with iOS, then here on the British Tech Network on Thursdays for the Big Show, Fridays for the Mac Show, and this week's Context Machine, the show that Brian Chaffin and I do together. This week's episode is out already. And then I do other shows sometimes too. So thank you to the three of you for entertaining me so much this morning, because that's really what it's all about. And
you'll get the bill soon.
Yeah, I know. And I'll pay it just as fast as I always do. But seriously, this has been a lot of fun. So thank you to all of you for just being awesome. And we didn't get to record with a live stream today because of our tech issues. So, but we'll get that resolved. And so I guess that means when you do watch live, thanks for being here. For everyone that's checking out the recordings, thank you for being part of the BTN family. You're awesome. Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. TSO host, thank you for being here and supporting us. And if you're not already checking out the Daily News Show, what is wrong with you? Get on it. And then throw some money towards it too, so we can keep that going. And I think that's pretty much everything. So with that, Chuck has something.
I have one very quick. We have to issue a get well quick to the host of the new show because he's under the weather. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that on the chat this morning. So, Kyle, please take care of yourself. Let yourself be sick so you can get back because we miss you doing the news show.
Yes.
And please, for getting well, take more than 5 minutes.
Yes. I see what you did there. Well played. All right. So with that, don't forget to join us next Thursday for the Big Show and then come back again on Friday for the Mac Show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.